There is a children's book entitled Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. When I came across this book in an illustration, Sarah was in the living room. I said, hey, do you ever read this book to your kids? And she kind of remembers doing so. Anybody familiar with the story? Oh, look at this. Wow. I don't know if I should be impressed or feel bad that you're all on that reading level. Yeah, that's right. Good for you. Anyway, here is an excerpt. Let me read it for you. I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on my skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. And I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Anthony found a Corvette Stingray car kit in his breakfast cereal box, and Nick found a junior undercover agent code ring in his breakfast cereal box. But in my breakfast cereal box, all I found was breakfast cereal. I think I'll move to Australia. In the carpool, Mrs. Gibson let Becky have a seat by the window. Audrey and Elliot got seats by the window too. I said I was scrunched. I said I was being smushed. I said if I didn't get a seat by the window, I was going to be carsick. No one even answered. I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. After more unfortunate incidences, Alexander ended the day by saying, my bath was too hot, I got soap in my eyes, my marble went down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad pajamas, and I hate railroad pajamas. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, and my mom says some days are like that, even in Australia. Many of us have had days that are terrible, horrible, no good, and very bad. Am I correct? We're all familiar with those kinds of days. Unfortunately, sometimes those kinds of days can not only be days, but they can stretch into weeks. They can stretch into long periods of time. Regardless of the quality of your spiritual life, regardless of how spiritually mature you might be, regardless of your personality type or even your financial status, we will have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. Let me say this. People will always let us down. Our plans will not always work out the way that we wish they would. Unexpected difficulties will knock at our door, and they will be beyond our own control. And we will have days where we are stressed, frustrated, and discouraged. And it goes on, because if we have too many terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, they can turn into depression, feelings of despair, feelings of hopelessness. We come to a place where we begin to question ourselves and we begin to question our God. Well, there is hope. Even though we have difficulty, even though we have circumstances that are beyond our own control, there is hope. And the hope is this. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So even in all of our difficulties, Jesus opens his arms and extends an invitation to us to come to him. Now, does that mean Jesus will solve every problem? The answer is no. Does it mean that he will remove every obstacle? The answer is no. Does it mean that he will change every circumstance? that he will heal every sickness, that he will solve every problem in the way that we choose for him to solve it? And the answer is no. Jesus said that we will have trouble in this world. You know, sometimes we have difficulties, and it's not because God doesn't love us anymore, or God has something against us. Sometimes God uses those kinds of situations to shape us, to grow us up, to cause us to stop relying on ourselves and start relying upon him to a deeper way. And so all of these things come into our lives. We also need to remember, in our sermon series, we're looking at the miracles of Jesus, and we're reminded that Jesus has the power. He absolutely has the power to miraculously change our circumstances. And he may, or he may not. But in all situations, he will provide his strength and his peace, even if our circumstances don't change. So in some cases, he may resolve our problem or our situation, and he may do it immediately, and he can even do it miraculously. We've seen miracles that Jesus performed, and they were miraculous. Today we're going to look at a man whose life was filled with sickness, frustration, loneliness, rejection, and hopelessness upon hopelessness. And Jesus radically transformed his life. Could ask if you would take your Bible and turn to John chapter 5. If you're not using your Bible, the page numbers for a pew Bible are up there, and I would invite you to take one and turn there. And I'll give you just a second to find it. John says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So as we join up with Jesus, he is back in Jerusalem. He was in Cana, and there he performed two miracles. What was the first miracle we looked at? He did what? Turn water into wine. Last week, we looked at a second miracle that occurred in Cana. What did he do there? While he was in Cana, and a man was in Capernaum, Jesus performed a miracle on whom? Okay. The royal man's son, okay? The nobleman's son, he healed him, all right? So today, Jesus is back in Jerusalem, and there he comes upon a man at the pool of Bethesda. Now, the pool of Bethesda was a healing shrine. And I have a photo that was taken at that event. Well, actually, The healing shrine still exists today. The characters have been added for dramatic purposes. But anyway, they would gather those who were lame, blind, all kinds of infirmities. They would gather there on the steps of that shrine. And they would be there day after day. Now, there was a superstition that an angel would stir up the waters. And when the waters would be stirred up, the first one in would get healed, okay? That kind of sounds like some superstitious things that people get today in the mail, and, you know, you'd touch this or pray over that or whatever. But anyway, it was a superstition. But people gathered there. And so when Jesus encountered this man, he said, I'm waiting, but somebody always pushes ahead of me, or I just don't get in. I have no way to get in there, and it was just a very hopeless situation. The healing of this man is a very dramatic example of the power of Jesus. Now, I just want to tell you something. Think about this. If you're in the hospital, and let's say you're confined to a hospital bed, you don't get out of bed for about 7 days, how easy is it to get out of bed after that? Would you likely need physical therapy before they let you go home? Yes, okay? Here's a man who was lame for how many years? 38. He must have had like Pinocchio legs without strings, okay? Let's face it, all right? Imagine Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And the man miraculously stood up, picked up his mat, and he walked away. That, my friend, shows the power that Jesus has to intervene in miracles. This man would have been dependent on other people to even get him to that pool of Bethesda. He probably, after day of begging for existence, would have had a minimal sense of self-worth. He probably was filled with self-pity. And it was just amazing that he had an encounter with Jesus. I want to say this. There are people that are in this room who have physical needs, spiritual needs, relational needs, financial needs. And I want you to know, if you learn nothing else today, know that Jesus has the power to intervene in your circumstances, okay? And he is able to come alongside of those needs. He may change them, or he may provide his presence, his peace, and his strength, okay? We'll look at that a little bit more. But today, I would encourage you to grab your outline out of your bulletin, and I have four steps. These are four steps with dealing with difficulty and discouragement. Now, if there's anybody here that has zero difficulty and has never been discouraged, you may leave now. Everybody else, stay intact, okay? And I have a feeling that nobody's leaving, all right? Step number one is don't allow your circumstances to become your identity. And I want to say this. Are you leaving? Are you leaving? Okay. I just thought maybe he never had any discouragement or any problems. But anyway, man, Alex, whew. You know, sometimes we have problems or difficulties, and they can become who we are. This man was lame for 38 years. Jesus, when he saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in that condition, said, do you want to get well? And most of us would say, like, duh, why would you ask that question? But you know, maybe that man had become very comfortable as who he was, and he really was no longer looking for help. He was no longer expecting his life circumstances to change. It was a very valid question. And understand that even the most optimistic person would have been discouraged. But people are sometimes can take on the identity of their circumstance. The Bible doesn't tell us what his name was. The Bible says he's the man who was lame for 38 years. Now, some of you are going to understand this. My background in the restaurant business, you knew your customers by what they ordered. It's likely if you go into a restaurant and you order the same thing and they have the same staff, they know who you are. They would say, here comes Mr. Two cheeseburgers, ketchup and mayo only. And we knew who he was, all right? Mary, who works at Red Lobster, is back there smiling at me. Because that's what happens. You get identified by what you eat, especially if you eat the same thing all the time. It's likely you can go into Dunkin' Donuts, and they know your face, and they know exactly what your coffee is, okay? They know. But they don't know your name. Your coffee with, you know, like three scoops of sugar or whatever, okay? Because that's how they... And that's what happened to him. He was known as the man who was lame for 38 years. That was his identity. And I want you to know that it's very easy for us to allow our circumstances to become our identity. We are capable of being that kind of person. Our illness can become our identity. Our grief and loss can become our identity. Our financial woes can become our identity. Our habits or our addictions can become our identity. Our depression can become our identity. I can tell you this. You know, I shared some of my personal life last week with you. Shortly after my first wife passed away, I was in Lane Co., which is formerly, now that's where Giant is today, in Lehigh. And I was in Lane Co., and I overheard somebody say, "Oh, that's the man over there. His wife passed away a few weeks ago. He has four little kids." Do you know I never shopped in Lane Co. after that for years? I did not want to be identified as that person. So if I was at the Burger King that day in Northampton, I went to Redner's. If I was at the Burger King in Broadheadsville, I went to Weiss's. Or wherever it was, I shopped where I was for my family rather than going into stores where people would identify me by my circumstance. But it's easy to fall into that trap. It's easy to get stuck in that rut. And we cannot let our circumstances be our identity. There are situations that are difficult. There are days that are hopeless. We have all kinds of struggles, but our identity is found in Jesus Christ. He loves us. He values us enough that he gave his life to pay the penalty for our sin. We are very valuable to God. We are very valuable to him, and our immediate current circumstances are not our identity. And first step is, do not allow our circumstances to become our identity. Step number two says, admit that your circumstances are beyond your own abilities. Now I want to tell you, isn't that who we are? I have a problem. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to solve it. I might ask my spouse, my coworkers, or somebody to give me advice, and I'm going to do everything. I might buy a self-help book. I might see what Dr. Phil has to say, or Dr. Oz has to say, or all of those things. And after I exhaust all possibilities and nothing works, I guess I'll ask God whether he will help, okay? Now, this is no joke, because that's who we are. We get the idea sometimes that we can row our own boat. We can do and solve all of our own problems. And God, if I have like something really drastic happen, then maybe I'll go to God first. Admit it. Isn't that how we are? This man, he had a lot of excuses. He said, "I can't." He probably felt it's just the way he was, the way the circumstances were. He was reliant on people, but he needed help. He absolutely needed help. And we need to recognize and admit the fact that our circumstances are beyond our own ability. And it certainly is in God's interest that we bring our concerns to him. In fact, he teaches us to do that. He tells us that we are to bring all of our concerns to him because he cares for us. And so it's important for us to realize that our problems are not just always self-solvable, okay? We can't do everything ourselves. We need other people. We need other brothers and sisters in Christ. We need our church family to come alongside of us. But most of all, we need to be able to admit to God, God, I need your help. Step number three. Entrust your circumstances to God. Now, let me just say this. If it isn't hard enough to realize that you can't do everything yourself, it's even harder to take whatever it is and put it in God's hands and let it there. Very hard. How many of you entrust something to God and take it back? The rest of you should be praying about telling the truth, okay? You know, we know the phrase, let go and let God. The truth is, as simple as that phrase is, it's very hard to do. It's very hard to take our situation and give it to God and allow him to work. You know, the scriptures, if I went on Google and I said, Bible verses that talk about trusting God, I could fill 1,000 PowerPoints, okay? That's how easy it would be. I'm sharing just two with you. In Nahum 1:7, it says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Now, when I see that, should that tell me that whatever my problem is, whatever my burden is, whatever my situation is, I should be able to entrust it to God because he cares for me? What happened? There we go. Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. So we need to be able to admit that we have a need, admit that we can't do everything ourselves, and take our need and entrust it to God, whatever that is. Now, we have an idea that sometimes our needs have to be big. You know, like, you know, I'm not going to pray about a cough or a cold, but I'll pray about cancer. You know, we kind of, like, things are more important than others. You know, all of the needs are important to God. Now, he's concerned about your relational issues. He's concerned about your financial issues. He's concerned about health issues, spiritual issues. And we need to be willing to come and bring them to him, but entrust them to him. And entrust whatever it is he's going to do. You know, the man who was healed, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Didn't even know it was Jesus that had healed him. We profess to know Christ. Why don't we entrust our needs to him? Why don't we come to him with all of those concerns? You know, let me say this. No matter how difficult our circumstances may be, we can entrust all of our circumstances to God. We can entrust all of our circumstances to God. And I can tell you this. God is never going to say, why are you bothering me with that? Never. Never. And so I would contend that one of the reasons we have a hard time letting go and letting God is because we're concerned about what God might do. And that brings us to step number four, which says, surrender your circumstances to the will of God. To the will of God. Perhaps even more difficult than admitting that we need help or letting go and letting God is being able to say to God, your will be done. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when we pray seeking God's will, He will always answer our prayer according to His will and not necessarily according to our will. That's why our will needs to be God's will. That's why we need to be saying, God, whatever your will is, I will accept whatever that is. Remember, we talked about this last week. When we entrust our concerns, our circumstances to God, God will always answer in accordance with His will. And God's will is always loving, it is always right, and it is always just. That's hard for us to understand sometimes, but we are not God. He is God. And we need to trust Him. I shared with you last week that faith is not only trusting God when we ask for help, it's trusting God with His answer. And so when we come with our concerns and our problems and our difficulties, we need to not only surrender them and entrust God with them, but we need to be willing to trust God's answer. Sometimes He miraculously intervenes. Sometimes He does not. But in all situations, He provides strength, supernatural strength. He provides peace that passes all human understanding. And His presence is there to help us through any and all situations and circumstances. So, know this. Jesus has the power to change your circumstances if it is His will. And if it is not His will to change your circumstances, He will always, always, always be with you. Never leave you, never forsake you. He will give you peace that passes understanding. And He will give you strength when you have no strength of your own. Sometimes He resolves the problem immediately, sometimes even miraculously. Other times He provides His presence, His power, His peace. In all situations, we need to learn to trust Him. So here's a question. Is there an illness or a situation from which you need healing? Okay? This is the question like was given to the man at the pool of Bethesda. You have a situation, a circumstance, a problem. Do you want to be helped? Because if you want it to stay the way it is, then that man had a choice. He could have just stayed sitting on those steps, okay? But he made a choice that he was going to take that situation, that problem, and he was going to do what Jesus told him to do, okay? So maybe you have a physical need. Maybe you have an emotional need. Maybe you have a relational need, a financial need, whatever it might be. Second question is this. What steps are you willing to take? What are you willing to do about it? Are you willing to acknowledge the situation? Admit that you need help? Are you willing to let go and entrust that need to God? Can you say with all of your heart, God, I am giving this to you. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we need to learn to do. And God will take our circumstances and He will use them for His glory in whatever purpose that might be. Remember, Jesus performed miracles. For what reason? To show His glory, to show His identity, and to draw people to believe. And so He uses that in our lives as well. Let's pray. Father, it is no fun to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And it is very difficult. And we become accustomed to circumstances. Sometimes we even allow them to be our identity. But Lord, you teach us that we are to cry out to you. We are to seek you for help. We are to trust you and to trust your will for all of our circumstances, because Lord, everything you do for us is loving and right and just. You don't do anything against us to harm us, Lord. Help us to trust you. Help us to entrust our needs to you and believe with all of our hearts that you are willing to intervene. Help us to trust your will to be done. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.